Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.
Question sometime. And this kind of came up when I was bringing up the thing with like Gwen and like asking her about the energetics piece. I'm curious for you, Joanna, if you take a moment to know what you're going into, or like how, or if you just through experience have refined some of that, because it takes an extra piece of thinking.
Yeah, I think it's a great question. It's less about an extra piece of thinking and more what you hear me say all the time, which is slow down and connect the dots.
And connect the dots, not just for you, but for them.
Right. And it doesn't mean that you have to share all the questions that got you to the question you're going to ask. But if, again, like if there's some context that needs to be created, create it, connect those dots. So it requires, as the coach, like slowing down in your head just a little bit, particularly when you have those cascade of questions. And then once you slow down and you know where you want to go, then the connect the dots piece is another way you can ask that question is like, how can I create context? How can I get them from the last thought that she just shared to where I'm going next? Is there something that needs to be inserted there in the middle? Does that make sense?
Yep.
Awesome. Was there another piece you were going to share about what you would do differently?
Well, I think the other thing I wrote down, so the complex questions thing we just addressed. The other thing that I wrote down was this, like, she's talking about, how do I know if I see a good person or a bad person? That, I think the sense of, I don't know if it was articulated in my head yet, but that's a place where it's like, well, how would you figure out if someone's a good person or a bad person? And that could have maybe more quickly taken us to the pathway of, well, I would have to meet them, or I don't know what would come up, but.
Yeah, exactly. And that's when I wrote down that question. If you were to have a conversation with Larry about it, what would you want to say or ask or know? A little earlier in the conversation, I wrote down, and it's related to this, I wrote down, is there any action you could take or information you would need for this to not feel like a betrayal?
Mm-hmm. That's a good one. Well, and it just might be part of it still for Sharon.
Right. Right, because the other piece, you know, that's a little bit more of an open-ended question than just the Larry thing. That might address having a conversation with Steve about it. I don't know, right? Like one possible. Is there anything that she would need to do or know in order for it to not feel like a betrayal? And then along with that, and of course you were working with time, but I feel like the only other piece within the amount of time that you had, just taking it a little bit like taken for granted, or I'm not saying that you did, Leah, but I think it's easy when a client presents this to take it for granted that it would be a betrayal. And so just opening up that belief a little bit, maybe looking down the road of, would it actually be a betrayal? What would make it a betrayal? What would make it not a betrayal?
Yep.
So to, you know, to kind of peek down there more. What I want to ask everyone, I'm going to ask two questions at once. So first, you know, if you had more time, well, let me ask this question, because then I want to get to the business piece, let's look at the business piece first. So you, Sharon mentioned the business piece is a factor. That's something that's on my mind. I want to be transparent with you guys, right? So I was thinking, like, if I was the coach, how would I address that piece? And I was noticing in my own mind, you know, my own filter, I'll call it, you know, I was noticing my own filter of, oh, my gosh, I wouldn't want to lose that business right? And so if I go to, it might be right to go to another practice because maybe it is a betrayal and maybe it's not right. But whew, like, you know, there have been times in my life previous, and hopefully not today, but times in my life previous where maybe I would have just gone in order, you know, to Larry in order to not lose the business, right? So I was very much aware of my own filter for that particular situation. So first, I just want to point that out to you guys, right? Because this can happen in coaching. But so long as we're aware of the filter, that's what's most important. If I wouldn't be aware of that filter, there's no way I could adequately coach Sharon around it.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say we had more time. This is a question for everyone. How would you address that business piece? What are some questions you might ask? What are some pathways you would take Sharon down to help her get clarity on, you know, if she didn't end up working with Larry, you know, what does that mean for her husband's business and how, you know, how to be at peace with that?
Can I add something?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously raise your hands while I'm talking, but it's interesting. I have the opposite filter.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been staunchly working, and this is, you know, I've been working with my pleasure. There's a lots of big shit that's coming through around that for me, but it's around staunchly not making decisions in fear.
Yeah, 100%, right? So and that is great. We don't want to make decisions in fear, but I love it that you can see that that's a filter, right? Because the client may not necessarily be in that place. Also,
yep.
And also sometimes, well, I'll leave it at that. Michelle. Hold on.
Michelle. About how much of the, how much income does this particular business provide to her husband's business, right? Because that's not very consequential or something like that. Maybe you could, like, one, maybe it would be easy to say, we'll just go somewhere else. You know, maybe if it's 75% of the business, you're like, well, here we are.
Yeah. And I think she did mention that it was a substantial amount. But, yeah, I think that would be a good question. And, Sharon, I want to ask you, like, what would your intention, if you had an intention around the business piece factor of this, what would you really want from a coaching situation? Because that's
what it's
here. I'm making assumptions. I don't even know what your intentions are around rectifying that business piece.
Yeah, I guess I have a fear that we could lose business, and it is a substantial amount. I don't want to do that. I don't think it's anything different than what everyone has already said so far.
Yeah, so what would you want? Yeah. From the conversation about it,
I guess I would want. I don't really know how to answer your question. I have to talk out loud and have to rephrase it for me because I'm not sure. Part of it is I need help coming up with an intention. But I guess I want to think through what are the risks and what's fear and what's not. And then whatever I decide to do, a game plan that would mitigate whatever risks I'm afraid of.
Beautiful. Good. Okay, so that would be a good plan of action for a coaching session then. Or for homework. Anything else on this business piece? All right, then last question. If there were more time in the session, what are some other roads that you may have taken the client down? I'm asking that because it seemed to be a very fast session to me. So if there were more time and space, are there any other pathways or roads or things that you would have addressed? No? All right. Awesome. Well, thank you, Gwen and Inbal and Leah and Sharon, for all that you brought. Thank you, everybody, for the call today. I'll talk to you all soon. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.
Hey, everybody, it's Joanna. Let's get the recording going here. All right. Hi. We are here for our May clinic call for Sacred Depths. I hope you guys are all doing really well. I'm really excited to be connecting with everybody today. So let's jump right in. Let me get us into lecture mode here. So as a reminder, this is an opportunity to bring forward any question that you have as it relates to a client case that you're working on right now, or a pattern that you see happening with a couple of your clients. It might be something like severe, like you don't know what to do, or it might just be something, you know, not so severe, but you just kind of want some validation or confirmation or other ways to look at a situation. This is an opportunity to bring forward any questions around just in general that you have as you're moving through your coaching skills, as well as your energetics, if you're noticing anything there. And this is also a great opportunity to bring forward any questions that you have around your enrollment processes and sales calls, anything that you've got going on with those. So with that, I'll open up the floor for Q&A. It's star 2. Who can I help first? And as usual, it looks like we're a smaller group today, so feel free to take up space. Who is this? 0684 are your last numbers.
Hi, Joanna. It's Nicole.
Hi, Nicole. I thought it might be you. Hi.
Yeah, it's me. Hi. today, I have a question which is not particularly related to a client, but I think it's more of my own process. So I'd like to, I have some questions. And it's one of my insights during the retreat, the shadow retreat, was that I felt proud again to be a coach. Mm-hmm. And I thought about that, and I'd like to act upon this, but actually I have no idea. Well, no idea. The thing is, I keep telling myself it doesn't have to be perfect. I get stuck in my head. I wrote a blog post, haven't posted it yet. I'm a leadership coach and for women entrepreneurs, and I always write about choices, desires, scary stuff, and how to make powerful choices. And I don't want to be a coach talking about coaching, but I feel the urge to talk about our profession and to be more to feel more pride. And but there's also some fear around this. My intention is not clear, so I'm a little bit stuck in my head. So I thought, well, maybe I can in the clinic call I can tell you this, and maybe you have some journaling questions on this, some ideas, and how to transform this into something constructive on my terms. I'm not sure if I'm making myself clear, but I feel the urge to do something with it. So first I wrote a blog post. I sent it to a friend coach as well. And she said, yes, you have to post it. It's very important. We talk about these things. And I don't want to start a curriculum or anything like that, but how could I make some baby step? But then I think, oh my God, why would I do this? And there's some fear.
Yeah,
so this is my question.
Yeah, I think I understand, but I want to make sure that I'm clear. So just tell me first, actually, what was the blog post about?
The blog post is about that everybody in the Netherlands can be a coach without any experience, any hour of coaching. And I think it's important to acknowledge that in every profession you have to study, you have to have some experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it's some kind – well, it was also to support the good coaches to support them, because I know also in the Netherlands and maybe in the United States as well or in other countries, when people ask you, what do you do for a living? A lot of people don't tell, I'm a coach, because it has some kind of aura around this. So you try to say, I help people with this and that, and they say, oh, you're some kind of coach with some tone of voice. Oh, you're another one, right? Without any experience. So you did a lot, and then you don't know what you're doing, when you don't know what you want to do in life, or then you become a coach or something like that. And totally. I think we have to be more proud on our profession.
Yeah.
So that was the blog post about.
Yeah, and are most of your clients coaches? Just out of curiosity.
Yeah, some of them. Yeah, I have some business coaches, some leadership coaches, team coaches, facilitators. So, yeah, there's some. Yeah, so, well, I think half of them is a coach, and the rest is are leaders in corporates. Yeah, in the corporate world.
Yeah, so we can just, you know, from what you're sharing so far, we can see that there's actually a lot of relevance. Like, the blog post isn't just about, you know, your ego needing to get this out, but what I'm hearing is this blog post serves in a couple of ways. So first of all, you have a good percentage of your clients are coaches themselves. So writing about the importance of, you know, pride in coaching and training in coaching and all of that is 100% relevant and important information for your clients. But then the other thing that I'm hearing is that this is like, it reminds me almost like, you know, if you have a company that makes whatever they make, I don't know, makeup, let's say, how they might write a blog post or include in their marketing how they use all organic materials or how they don't animal test when they create products. It's an important component for people to know about their product. Am I getting all of that right so far?
Yes, and it's true, a percentage of my clients are coaches, and but to me it touches, like, well, you know, in the shadow retreat I talked about arrogance and modesty, and it touches some, it relates to my shadow as well. Who am I to tell this? And I get, well, and then I back off, you know, so that's also a part of this question.
Well, that's, you're going exactly where I want to. First, I just wanted to establish the surface pieces and the relevance and all that, but 100%. So talk a little bit more about what's holding you back, because we can see in a practical reason why it would make so much sense for you to be putting this information out there and sharing in this way. So what is it that's holding you back exactly?
I think the thing, who am I to say this? Because I don't know all the coaches. Maybe they are all very good and very experienced. So it's too extreme. You are too extreme. And maybe this is what happens with everybody talking about their profession. At some point you think, who am I to say all this or to claim all this or to, so that sounds like the arrogant part of me I don't like, because it feels like some kind of arrogance or some kind of, who is she? So this is some kind of fear of negative or of criticism as well. That's the first thing I'd like to say about this. I'm scared about the criticism, scared about who is she, well, that kind of stuff.
Okay, so tell me if I'm getting this right. It feels a little bit less that you're asking yourself, well, who am I to say this? That's in there. but maybe even a little bit more that other people are going to say that. Who is Nicole to make these?
Yeah. Yeah, I wish you, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I think, why would I bother? Why would I go out there and tell what I think? Because I talk a lot about this with other coaches, and they all support me and think, yeah, sure, I got to write this one. And then I think, I don't know. So, and then I get stuck and I do other things. So it's kind of some kind of resistance.
So you just asked a really important question. Why would you take the risk, right? Because you're right. There is a risk. You could get criticized. You know, the thing that you're talking about, I talk about this all the time, and I'm always taking the risk. And sometimes I do get criticized. You know, I don't want to pretend like that's not possible. Sometimes I do get criticized for it. It's true. Right? So why would you take that risk and speak about this?
Because I really feel I have to speak up. I have to, I want to say this because for me it's important. Well, it sounds a little bit arrogant to say for me this is it's my truth about this. It doesn't feel as a big mission or anything, but sometimes it feels like a mission to tell about this and to show, this is really an important profession and that we take it seriously. And for me personally, I don't know, it's, I felt in the retreat, the shadow retreat in Charlotte, I felt I wanted to be more like a transformational coach and to help other people, with our profession. So it feels like, I cannot find the words.
No, you are. I think you are. What I'm hearing is it's your truth.
Yeah.
It's part of your mission.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big part of your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And you're passionate about it.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I'm very passionate about my profession. And after the retreat, I started saying, yes, I'm a coach.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, I was kind of a little bit ashamed. Well, I'm a coach. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I was a coach. But I was a consultant as well. So I tried to pimp it up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, good. So this is great because it really is a continuation of all that opened up for you at the retreat. So what I'm hearing is, you've got almost like two sides inside of you that are fighting. There's the one side that's saying, I want to share this because this is my truth. This is part of my mission. This is part of my purpose. This is my passion. I feel so strongly about this.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the other side that's saying, but you're going to get criticized for it.
Yeah, and the criticism mostly is around the, how do you call it, nuance? There are always a lot of sides on the story. So I can see the black side, the white side, the other side, and all kinds of sides of a coin.
Yeah.
So then I tend to, to downplay a little bit. So who am I to say this? Because the other side could be true as well.
Yeah.
And that's the other side, I think, where I'm holding back.
Yeah. When is a time in your life, whether it was business or personal, at any time in your life, where you've felt strongly about something, where you've known that it is your truth, but not the truth, right? That there's more, maybe more than one truth, but it's certainly yours, and you felt passionate about it, and you shared it anyway.
Interesting question. I think, you remind me of a lot of things now. I'll have to write them down later.
Mm-hmm.
Around when my parents died, I think, around the topic of choice. It's very important. I free will, I think, free will and having a choice to make the best out of life. I'm very passionate about that one, too.
Yeah.
To live your life on your own terms.
Yeah.
I don't have kids. I live a life with a lot of traveling. I have a husband, but I travel a lot alone. So I make some choices which are different from other people. I sometimes get criticized around that, but that doesn't feel like, well, it's my life, you know? So I'm very passionate, very strong about, I have a strong opinion on how I want to live my life. So this may be an example.
Yeah, it's a great example. So here's an example of a place where it is your truth and you're so passionate about it. And it's not true for everyone.
And it's
true for you. And you've been willing to speak up about it. And there are people that have loved it. And there are people that have criticized you. And you're you got criticized and you're still here.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's so true. But this question really helps because then I feel very strongly about living my life on my own terms. And the part of that around the coaching, the profession, it's a little bit more scary, but actually, well, why is it so scary? Because the other part could be more scary even because people criticize my way of living, my way of life. And that doesn't feel bad at all. So,
yeah. So
that's an important thing, yeah.
It's a very important thing. And tell me if this resonates for you. What I think I'm hearing a little bit in what you've been sharing today is that you've been conflating two separate things and making them the same thing. You've been conflating your truth and standing up for your truth with being arrogant. But those are actually two very different things. Does that land for you?
Yeah, it lands, It's very important.
So just...
Yeah, you're so right. Yeah.
Yeah, what are you seeing? Yeah. What's important here?
When you tell me that I'm standing up for my truth, that feels strong. Then I feel the leader I felt in Charlotte, the transformational coach. I want to stand up. And on the other hand, being arrogant is a different part. It's not arrogant. It's my truth, and somebody else can have their truth. So. I think that's
you're not denying anybody else. It would be arrogant.
No, true.
If you were to tell somebody else they can't have a different truth, that would be arrogant.
Mm.
But I know that that's not what you're doing with this blog post or any of the other ideas that you have. Am I getting that right? You're not telling anybody they can't have their truth. That would true.
No. I think I'm in favor of something and not against it. I always like to write something about the pros, what I'm in favor of, instead of saying, no, you cannot do this, no, you cannot do that. And I like people to reflect on topics and then to have their own opinion. And then it's okay.
Good. So I think a big key piece here for you is to unhook the concept of arrogance from you being your own truth. They are not the same.
Yeah. Yeah. You're so right. Yeah. Really resonates with me. Yeah.
Good. Anything else that you need here, or do you feel ready to post that blog?
I'm going to post the blog. I'm going to do that. And I'll tell you all the reaction. I don't know when, but I will.
I don't feel good about that. Let's choose when. When are you going to post that blog?
I love your style. Let me see. Because today I posted, let's say it will be the blog post for next week.
Tuesday?
Tuesday or Thursday. I always post on Tuesday or Thursday. It's already there, so it doesn't require a lot of work. Let's say Tuesday.
I like the sound of that. So will you let us know in the Facebook group
that
you posted it on Tuesday? And here's what I want you to do, Nicole. I want you to play with this. When you post it, just like as you're clicking post, just for a moment, I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to feel all of your pride in being a coach, and I want you to feel your passion on this topic. And I want you to even see that passion touches the people that are going to read it, and then I want you to click post.
Love that. Yeah, I will.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a beautiful ritual to do. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. And just last piece, I really want to encourage you to think of more topics that you can write about that are on that edge, that are might be a little controversial, that are really your truth. You're going to get a lot more business that way.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I normally do, but this topic felt somehow playing big. So, let's grow a little bit on that.
Good.
Thank you.
I can't wait to hear. Yeah, good.
Yeah, I will tell you all. Even if I have to cry. But I won't.
You won't. You
Thank
definitely
you.
Won't. Good work. All right. Kendall.
Hello.
Hi.
So I love what Nicole just shared. I can totally relate to a lot of what she shared there, and so that was very helpful for me as well. And I did have a question around, so what's coming up for me is just this, it's really related to like a boundaries piece. And so the way it's showing up is, I'm in the midst of kind of revamping my offerings, and the idea is to have sort of like almost like an intro piece and then the option for people who want to go into an ongoing piece, that option is there for ongoing work together.
Uh-huh.
And I'm finding this boundaries piece come up where it's like, you know, people who choose not to go into the ongoing piece, you know, like if they have questions or, I don't know, just like things come up for them, it just feels really awkward to be like, well, I can't help you because I want to help them. But sometimes it's just, you know, it's hard to know where that line is in terms of, you know, sort of completing the work together that we both agreed to and not, you know, not like feeling like I'm totally leaving them hanging, but like creeping into, you know, I guess just
is this
more,
our sessions already done at this point? Like, just give me a little more.
Exactly.
Yes. Sessions are done and program engagement is done, but they're still reaching out and asking questions, yet they haven't elected to continue on. Like, just share with me a little bit more so I get the full picture.
Yes, that's exactly it. And the way that my offering is set up is the intro program gives, like, you know, the big crux of it is an overall plan, which is designed to be implemented over time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's totally something that they could do on their own if they so choose for whatever reason. And I find that people who opt for ongoing support do a lot better because it's just easier to sort of implement change, particularly lifestyle change with support.
Yeah.
And I think most people too are used to, you know, like if I have a question, if something comes up, then I'm going to call my practitioner and ask them, you know, it's just like a different,
it's a different
setup
level,
that people
sure.
aren't used to.
Yeah.
And so I'm finding that, you know, I'm finding it challenging to kind of, be clear about, you know, kind of what's involved and what may not be involved with the different options without, you know, because I don't want people to feel like I'm totally cutting them off either. Like, oh, you're you know, you're done. I don't care about you anymore. I'm not going to, like, talk to you unless we're doing ongoing work together. But at the same time, I want to, you know, kind of honor my own time and boundaries also. So that's what's coming up for me.
Yeah. Good. Okay. So we can get to the actual practical language of it in a moment. But what I think is first important to address, and you already started, like, toe-dipping in, is that is the reason why you haven't been able to articulate it and be clear is because of some of the beliefs that you have around being clear.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. Do you mean in terms of, like, me feeling like it's almost, like, mean to clearly say this is like sort of the line? Yes, for sure. Yeah. For sure. Because it, you're absolutely right. I mean, even as we're talking, I can feel that this is like that part of me that doesn't want people to feel like I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. So what is it? Because I can see already just from the way you're talking that you're starting to separate out that, like, you can see that part of you that's scared that people aren't going to care. So, well, let me ask you this. You know, how old is that part of you? The part of you that's really scared that people are just going to think you're mean and cold and you don't care?
Huh. It feels, I mean, what's popping into my mind is 8. It feels young. It feels like old enough to be able to have some responsibility, but it feels young.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Good. So let's just take this a step further and just really connect with your 8-year-old self for a moment. Maybe you can even see her in front of you, just little 8-year-old Kendall. If you just see her in front of you for a moment, just tell me what she looks like.
She looks really sweet. She just has, like, this really innocent smile.
Mm-hmm.
And just, like, kind of sunlight shining on her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice. So just continue to connect in with her. And I want you to ask her, who told you or showed you that you're mean and not caring enough? Let's see what she says.
So it's interesting because this memory just kind of flashed in, and it's around, like, when I was a little kid, and I remember my relatives, like, talking about just, I don't even know, health or something, and I said, oh, don't worry, when I get older and I'm feeling emotional, I'm going to get a big mansion and you can all live there and I'll take care of you. And I can't believe I'm getting so emotional, but it feels like I felt like I really wanted to help them and take care of them and help them feel really loved and like they didn't have to worry. It almost felt like they were worried about the future.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just feels like this. For some reason, I felt like I had to take that on, like I was responsible or...
Yeah.
And not like they even asked me, like I just wanted to.
Yeah. So, like, there's a part of that that's so beautiful, right? Just that wanting to take care of others. And I think that's part of what makes you such an amazing practitioner, Kendall. Because you are so deeply caring, but just like, you know, we learned about, you know, when we were looking at archetypes, there's like a high expression and a low expression of every energy. And when you cross over into the like, and there, because I care about taking care of others, I am therefore responsible for them. That's when you really cross over into those lower level energies of the caring, the deeply caring one.
Right, yeah.
So the caring is so beautiful, and it's so important, and it's such a, like, just awesome part of your magic that you bring to your work. But when it slips into the over-responsibility, not only is it hurting you by, like, taking up your time and energy when you're not being paid, but the truth is it's hurting those former clients as well, because they actually need to be in a container with you where they're getting consistent support, and them feeling like they can just reach out here and there whenever they need something, and like that's enough, and that's like that's just really, you know, it's not going to help them over time if just here and there you answer a question. Tell me if you think it is not true what I am saying, because that's
it totally resonates. What you're saying totally resonates, and it feels very true.
So what would the truly caring thing actually be to do?
You know, it's interesting because it feels like in a way this ties back into what Nicole was saying and what it sort of brought forward for me, and that is being willing to be honest and speak, you know, my truth and sort of put it out there as an option for them to consider in terms of what I know or, you know, in my experience is truly required for someone to have the transformation they're looking for. And that includes the support. It includes the container. It's not just the one-off here and there, which really, you know, at least in my experience, typically doesn't bring the, you know, level of change and transformation they're really looking for.
Yes. Can you feel your energy as you say all of that?
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, that's so interesting because one of the things that was coming forward when Nicole was sharing was, you know, I have this part of me that's so, that feels like if I share my truth around this, let's say, then somehow I'm, you know, like trying to push my own beliefs onto someone else, and, you know, they might have their own journey or their own way of doing things that might be different, and that's okay. And, you know, it's very interesting just in terms of, you know, this pattern of hesitancy to really speak out and take a stand for what's true for me.
Yeah. And for what's true for your ideal client, right? That may not be everyone, but what I'm hearing is for your ideal client, having that container and that ongoing support from you in order to execute the plan is vital.
Yeah.
So some of the, you know, practical pieces in this are, number one, when someone comes into that intro offering, for you to be really clear on what it is and what it isn't and what you'll accomplish and then what you won't accomplish by the end of it.
Okay. Yeah.
And then that's just such a beautiful setup and an in integrity setup for when you get towards the end of that intro offering to say, you know, like I shared when you stepped in, we've got your plan now. You know, we've looked at all aspects of your health. We've looked at all aspects of your patterning and your habits. We've created the plan. I'm so happy that you have this plan now. It's such a beautiful personal blueprint for your health, uniquely designed for you. That's a big, we accomplished a big chunk of work. But as I had shared with you earlier, and I really want to emphasize this now, what I find is the next step is really, you know, as you go to execute this plan, is that most people still really need support executing the plan. Not because you're not smart, of course you can get the plan, but because we're so used to our old habits and patterns. Because detailed questions are going to come up around, you know, is this okay to eat, but not the, you know, all the little pieces that come up. And I find that the way to be most effective is for us to spend another 3 months, and however long it is, 6 months, whatever it is, as you move through this master plan to help you execute it and then to tweak it as need be as you go along.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah.
And then it's just totally out in the open, right? Like this is the way forward.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, if someone elects not to, and they start, you know, getting in touch and asking questions, it's a perfect opportunity to say, you know, I really want to support you with this, but I just have to be honest. I know, you're, like, here's the answer to this one, to this question. I'm happy to give it to you, but I just want to be honest. More questions will likely come up. And I can see that you're really committed to making this plan work. Would it make sense for us to hop on the phone and talk about continuing the work together?
Mm.
Either the person will say yes, you know, and they will want to,
yeah,
or they may say no, but they're not going to continue to ask questions.
Right. Yeah. Right? I love that. Yeah, absolutely. It's so clear, and it's also so loving and, like, open, and it's an invitation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I love that. Awesome. All right, that's so helpful. It feels fantastic. It feels really, really good, and I'm excited to kind of, you know, incorporate this more into even, you know, just like the information document on the program. So thank
yeah.
you. This is fantastic. Yeah.
You're so welcome. Good, good, good. All right. Who's next? Kelsey. All right there, Kelsey. Hold on. What's happening here? No, I don't know. Hold on. Oh, there you are. Okay. I'm having computer issues. Wait, hold on 1 second. Are you there?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
It might have been me. I couldn't figure out if my hand was up or down, so I did star two times, and so maybe I maybe I confused the system. Sorry about that. My question is, I have a million questions, but I think I've narrowed it down for this moment to, I'm having this, just an issue a little bit with, it's more of an internal dialogue, but, you know, the program that I'm talking about these days for my 6 month program that I've been, marketing to people, or when I get on an enrollment call, I talk about is this whole life leadership program. And I have in my, structure, the five sort of pillars that we go through, and roughly the order that at least the beginning goes through. And I'm struggling with the way to propose it as a program, because I do feel like for the type of audience that I'm working with, having some sort of structure, like, oh, I'm buying into this program, feels good to them. And at the same time, being able to just provide sacred depths coaching, which is sort of what's happening in the moment, and doing, you know, sort of what I see you modeling and really taking people for where they're at the moment and digging into, like, you know, what's behind it and the fears and all that, where, so it's this two, this question of how do I, on the one hand, maintain the idea that I'm, like, taking them through a program that is sort of my design, Mm-hmm. And at the same time, partially, which I prefer actually, like having it not so much be that I'm designing this program, but that we're going where they need to go. So some of it's just messaging and the nuance of how to have a program that has, you know, pillars and things that I want to cover and boundaries and self-compassion and whatever, but then also take it where they are in the moment.
Yeah. This is for one-on-one?
This is for one-on-one.
Okay, want to make sure.
Yeah, in group, I feel like it makes much more sense. You're going through your program, and then people can ask. Yeah, but one-on-ones, I'm still sort of saying it's this program,
mm-hmm.
and then you know they come to me with wherever they're at.
Yeah, yeah. So I think there's absolutely a way to marry the two. And I think it's just in your languaging, right? So I agree with you. I think that naming the pillars and articulating them is going to be very attractive to your ideal client because they'll be like, ooh, I want that, and I want that, and yeah, oh, yeah, I want that, right? So that's almost like the pillars or the, like, what you're laying out. I almost see that I don't know if you've done the your Sacred Depths module on Brilliant Space System, but that's really like the Brilliant Space, the BBS, the Brilliant Space System of the Whole Life Leadership Program, right? So those are the different pillars, modules, you know, whatever you want to call it, that are going to be covered. But the beauty is because it's a one-on-one program, you may not cover them in the order that is laid out in the marketing. And some of the pieces, you know, depending on the client, you'll spend more time on. Some of the pieces you'll spend less time on, depending on their needs. And then some of it's going to be circular, like you'll come back. You know, you'll do a piece and then move on to another pillar and come back just based on their needs. And so that's almost like a selling point. Like, here is this system that will help you step into whole life leadership. We will cover all of these areas in the 6 months that we work together. But because I don't do anything cookie cutter and because this is 110% tailored to who you are and to your unique needs and your unique strengths and your unique gaps, the order that we move through this and the way that we move through this will be tailored to you.
Yes, it just helps to hear you say it. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And that's basically what I've been saying. But it feels sometimes like in the moment, like, some people are like, okay, well, what do we do next? Like, kind of waiting for me in some way.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about that. And, that's actually a really important piece in general, like for any coaching, right? So I'll kind of share a philosophy and then you can tell me if you agree or disagree or use it or you're using it or not using it or whatever. But, you know, I really believe, and I've mentioned this in Sacred Death, that the coaching, of course, is always dictated by the clients and the client's needs. But what's really important is for the coach to have a sense of the action plan.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by action plan is, like, what's the overall path that this client needs to take? And of course that path might shift and change based on the progress that's being made or the new things that come through. But I am always, 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 when I'm working with a client, aware of, okay, what does she need next?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a partnership of whatever my client is bringing to me, as well as me sharing what I sense is important next. How did that land for you?
It totally lands, you know, based on their goals and based on, you know, where they're at and where you, where they stated that they want to go, but where you also have a sense that they need to go.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It gets harder a little bit in some ways to sort of know exactly where someone needs to go next when you've been working with them for a long time. Well, it sort of does and it sort of doesn't. I mean, you sort of the program itself is over. We're way past the 6 months, and now it's more week to week, where you're not like, okay, here's what we sort of have to do next. But
when someone is finished with the 6 months, like how do you – I think we've spoken about this before. Sorry if I can't remember. How do you continue with someone once they're done with the 6 months? Is it week by week, or is it another package?
That's last time we spoke, you're like,
yes.
Stop doing the month to month.
That's the problem. Yeah. Kelsey, that's the other problem there, right? Like, because when you do the month to month, you don't have bigger goals. You know, and so of course it's hard to know what they need next because there's no vision. Like, there's no real vision there for the continuing work together. It will help organize it so much more if they commit to 4 months or 6 months. And then you establish at the beginning of that second container, okay, what is it that you want to accomplish by the end of these 4 months or these 6 months? Okay, this is the pathway. You know, it might change as we go along, but these are the places that we're going to be working next.
Right. They have to sort of state their goals more explicitly.
Well, state them, and you help them shape. We'll get to this. This is going to be the very last class in Sacred Depths, how to, do, you know, what's next. Basically, re-enroll people. And because you've already worked with this person, you may know some of their goals more explicitly than they're willing to see just yet. So it's not just about what they want, but it's about what you see for them. Of course, if they disagree, you don't go there. But I always share because, it's like we can never see for ourselves all of our potential. But a coach that has worked with us for a while, that coach is way more able to see the potential and then point it out.
Right. Okay, good. Yeah, no, I mean, all roads point to this being what I need to do. I just don't know why it's so hard. I just had a client end the other day, and we sort of did a wrap up and I didn't re-enroll her. I sort of tried, I sort of didn't try. I wasn't, she has a really busy life right now. We said we'd circle back, but that's a piece where I'm not that great in sort of how do I, when
what
they re-enroll, they just kind of, I don't know. I mean, sometimes, like with this particular one, I sort of felt like I got her to the place with her goals that she wanted, and I didn't necessarily feel like we needed to, like, make new goals and re-enroll. I wasn't dying to re-enroll her. Maybe that was part of this one. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm scared of not knowing.
Well, that's fair. That's valid if you didn't.
Yeah.
More excited to continue.
Yeah.
But when you are excited to continue with someone, what's the fear?
That signing them up for another 6 month program means I have to have another 6 month program, or that. I don't know. I don't know what the fear is. Just that maybe just that that it's a big investment again and it's asking them to bite off something big again. So maybe it's that whole, I guess I need to figure out what the fear is.
Yeah. Well, let's just, right now there's no other hands raised, but let's just sit with this for another minute or two.
Okay.
Is it the belief that they've already invested a big chunk of change, so you can't ask them to invest another big chunk of change? Or is there something else going on there?
Yeah, that's probably part of it. Like, okay, it's one thing to say, this is what it costs to start working with me. And it's another thing to say,
And that's what it's going to cost, again, to keep working with me. Now that you've worked with me, it's almost like maybe, I don't know. Maybe it's like, well, it's one thing to say, trust me, I'm worth it. And then it's another thing to say, well, now that you've worked with me, do you also think I'm worth it? You know, like, am I worth it again?
This is very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's probably a not good enough something old feeling.
Yeah. So, and you know what is even more interesting is it sounds like a good amount of your clients do continue with you. They continue with you the month to month. You're not offering them anything else, but they actually are validating you and saying, yeah, I do want to continue. You are good enough.
Yeah. No, you're right. Some do, some don't. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Always like that.
Yeah.
So we're not on this call going to, like, you know, with just a few minutes left, go into, like, the not good enough. But this is a place that I think is important for you to work. And, we can talk more inner work on that. But to start engaging with that one, because the truth is, Kelsey, is that not only are you, like, creating some of this, I don't know where to go next with the client because it's month to month, you know, because of the not good enough, and not only are you leaving money on the table, like, my sense is you could be earning more in your business, but the other piece, same thing I said to Kendall, you're actually not doing your clients a service by not offering them a container.
Right. No, you're right. You're right. Because it just feels loose, and then, you know, they show up and I show up, but what are we really trying to achieve? And
My guess is they're not some of them, not all of them, but probably a good amount of them are not as energetically invested as they would be if it was.
For sure. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, and that's when cancellations happen, and there's a whole lot of scheduling headaches.
All the stuff we spoke about last month about this.
Mm-hmm.
This is about these continuing clients, but it's actually even more than that. Like, this is also about how you're marketing and how you're bringing in clients, too. What I just mean by that is, like, I know that on many levels, you know that you're good enough, and that's what allows you to have a business in the first place, and you have a successful business and bring in clients. But the more that we can work on this piece, the more, even more powerfully, you'll be able to bring in clients.
Right. So when you you're absolutely right. When you bring in people, then when you do your initial agreement, you say this is for 6 months, and at the end of the 6 months, we can sign up for another 6 months or another package.
Exactly. It's understood. And it's also understood that, like, I'm not pushing it on anyone. I'm making the invitation, right? So I'm not – I mean, same thing, we can just look at – you know, I gave the Next Steps call last week for Sacred Depths, and I shared why it is going to be important for people – to continue, and, you know, I sent out emails. There are some people I may outreach to individually who I think really should continue and want to continue but are in resistance, but I'm never going to take their power away from them. I'm never going to tell them they should, right? I'm going to just share openly what I have to offer and then empower them to make a decision, but I'm not going to back away and say, like, I'm never going to say you're not going to be okay if you don't continue. Obviously, you're going to be okay if you don't continue. But I'm never going to back away from speaking the truth that I know, back to Nicole at the beginning of this call, speaking my truth, which is this is what I see can happen in a next container.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I get it. It's tough for me. I get a little confused about it, but,
yeah. Well, and when we get, I mean, we're still a little ways away, but we'll get there soon. I'm going to lay out in July exactly how to set up that conversation and exactly how to lead that conversation so that it's totally in integrity, so that it feels totally empowering, but also so that you can strongly show up and help guide a client who actually really is meant to continue to commit to moving forward. So I promise, like, the how-to is coming. But now I just want you to sit with the
yeah. And do you just offer the same pricing for the second 6 months?
It depends. So, for me, at this point with privates, I tailor to each individual's needs. I used to have 3 different packages, and you just pick which one was the right fit. And then when you continue, there are the 3 packages, and you pick which is the right fit. But now I just tailor, like, okay, this is where you're at. This is what the next piece of work is going to be. This is, and I might give 2 options for a container. In terms of giving a discount, it's actually the opposite. So oftentimes I will keep the rate the same as the container before, but I raise my rates, every 2 years or so. And so clients are not paying less. They're paying more oftentimes, right, as they continue.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So much.
And I will also just share this in full transparency. I'm always scared, like, when I raise my rate. There's always a part of me that is scared. There's always a part of me that is scared when I invite people to continue, right? When we had our call last Thursday, got on the call. Like, I was sweaty before that call, Like, what if they don't like me? What if they hated the program? Right? Like, of course I had all that chatter going on in my head. So it's – I'm sharing this with you, first of all, to normalize it for you, and second of all, to say, like, just because – the chatter is there, number one, doesn't mean it's true, and number two, doesn't mean that you can't take action despite of it.
Right. Yep. No, exactly.
So actually, what I'm just realizing right now, this I'm not good enough piece would be a great thing to take yourself through to rewire your negative thoughts process with.
Okay. Yeah, basically that's the thought I chose when you did the call.
Yeah, good.
the basic, yeah.
Yep. Good.
Yeah, and the replacing it with just I am.
Yep.
I
so
am
now
good enough. I know that.
The last work of the consistency and the persistence on that one.
Yeah.
Like, really work it for a couple of weeks.
Mhm. Mhm.
It's not going to go away completely. That's not the point. It's going to get a little quieter in these situations where you need it to be a little quieter.
Right. Great. And it has, right, for sure, over the years, but it can get a little quieter in this particular realm right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, about charging people.
Yeah.
Specifically, and having people commit to packages. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you really are doing them a disservice. I mean, I'm sticking with that because it really, well, I won't say it's the truth, to Nicole's, our conversation with Nicole, but it really is a big truth for many people.
Yeah, I agree.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Great call, everybody. Thinking about all of you. If you have any other questions, just let me know or post in Facebook. And I will see you all tomorrow for our regular Sacred Depths call. I'll be doing some modeling around the Befriend Your Fear process and negative rewire your negative thoughts process. Talk to you all soon. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.